after even one good solid night of observing, the day after it feels like you have a really bad hangover. And I think it's mostly a dehydration thing, but just simple lack of sleep adds to it, of course. And after three or four consecutive nights, you've pretty much given it all away. Sometimes you just pray for clouds to come along so that you can go out and have a beer with your friends.
We astronomers are nomads.
We astronomers are nomads.
Merchants.
Merchants.
Circus people.
Circus people. All the earth, our tent.
All the earth, our tent.
We have Saturn almost overhead and the constellation Leo. And up high in the east, there's a nearby star cluster called Coma Berenices. And you can see the stars very faintly from most places, but from a site like this, you can see all the individual stars in a big triangular glow. Winter Milky Way setting in the west. Instead of looking along the Milky Way, along the galactic plane, we're looking now mostly straight up out of the disk of the galaxy, out into intergalactic space, the darkest patch of the sky. And often when I look up from Anderson Mesa here, when that region is more or less overhead, it seems as though the stars actually seem to be in the foreground and that there's this infinite, just immense space out beyond it that we can see out into. And it's a really cool, you know, aesthetic visual impression that one can get. Preferring to work by yourself is certainly a thing that I like to do and not have to, you know, have a party going on all the time while you're at work. And then that's a separate thing from feeling like you have no human connection with anyone in the world, that you really are genuinely lonely. You can be an extroverted hermit and have interaction with society, but basically prefer to be by yourself. I don't know if you get used to it or if one is predisposed towards it or which. But there's a whole crew of people who, like myself, who have been doing it for decades in Chile, in Australia, in Southwest U.S. And we, you know, we like it. We're still doing it. 14:11:50.
And like the moon, I bend my face to the ground, to the small patch where each foot falls, before it falls, and I forget to ask questions, and only count things.
Yes, and he got me going on getting the directory corrected. Yeah. Yeah. It should be better tonight, not quite so cold, and maybe a little drier, but who knows. Thanks for calling. Bye. So now I'm looking at the temperatures. There are quite a number of temperature sensors around the telescope and in the dome, and checking to see how the fans are doing in relation to the temperatures of the mirror and the air in the dome. Some nights you can be by yourself. It can really be a lonely night. But most nights, when it's workable, there are actually three or four other folks out using the various instruments at the Anderson Mesa site. Usually we don't visit each other, just from busyness and it being too cold to go wandering around too much. Now, focus. So when I was a little kid, like a lot of little kids in the sort of mid-60s, I was enthralled by the space program and the Mercury and the Gemini and the Apollo missions, particularly growing up in Florida. And then in the summer of 69, my buddy down the street showed me a star cluster through his little telescope. And that hooked me. That was it. Of course, I had to have a telescope, too. I hadn't realized, like a lot of people probably hadn't realized that there were, things in the sky other than just, single stars, that there were the nebulae and the galaxies and star clusters. My friend who had the telescope, he actually taught me most of the constellations first, and we did this both in the evening and early in the morning. We stayed up all night quite often out in my backyard. And, of course, when you're a teenager, you're staying up all night, which is great. So, really fired me up, and still does. Just seeing the sky at night is enough. For a long time, of course, I was running a telescope that was outside. In fact, two telescopes that were really basically outside, where I had to be standing in the dark, literally pushing the telescopes around and listening to music and staring at the sky much of the time, along with babysitting the telescopes. It is really much less romantic to sit inside a control room and stare at three or four computer screens to run the telescope. But luckily this telescope dome has a catwalk, so you can go outside and walk around during the night and actually see the sky and be reminded that there is this reality. It's not just strings of numbers and bits in the computer. It's just the visual apprehension of the sky. It's not so much the idea that the stars are, unimaginably old or unimaginably distant or unimaginably vast. The spaces in between are unimaginably vast. It's just the visual perception of things. They're just beautiful. Whether it's clusters or the zodiacal light beaming up in the evening in the springtime, or the Milky Way, just the, that would be happening even if we were not here. Like the universe is putting this on display just because it can. Things I do on cloudy nights is to work on building lists of stars that from catalogs that have been published in journals in the past. In a lot of cases, these stars are identified either only very approximately by location. So nowadays you don't go to a telescope or look through a finder and center it up by eye, but instead you have to drive a computer to tell the telescope where to go. You need accurate coordinates for where to point the telescope on the sky. These are coordinates on the sky just like latitude and longitude on the Earth. There's not very many people doing it at all, any sort of cataloging work of this sort, and despite the fact that there are something like 10,000 astronomers in the world, there's only a handful of us who are actively doing this cataloging work, about as many employees as you'd have at a good-sized McDonald's restaurant. Sort of life's work in this particular little area might amount to something like 1 million stars. I've got 250,000 done. When I finish one of these large files that's been sitting around that's needed work, it's kind of satisfying that you've put a little bit of the universe in order.
We astronomers are nomads, merchants, circus people. All the Earth our tent. We are industrious. We breed enthusiasms, honour our responsibility to all.
But the universe has moved a long way off. Sometimes, I confess, starlight seems too sharp. And like the moon, I bend my face to the ground, to the small patch where each foot falls, before it falls, and I forget to ask questions and only count things.
Regrets about not doing the music more or something like that, and saying, well, I could have done that, or I could have, you know, done business and done some sort of corporate thing and been rich and then had no time to spend the money. And certainly it's been well worthwhile. I mean, very exhausting but exhilarating also, just participating in the science and seeing how things progress and just seeing a lot of the sky, witnessing a lot of the passage of the sky. Started out 25 years ago, almost 30 years ago now, taking photographic plates with a 70-year-old instrument that was used to discover Pluto. Then we started doing CCD observing with the big telescopes. Continual change over the years. You know, it's the automation has proceeded to a high degree, but you got to make sure that it's not going to crash into something, and that, you know, the clouds don't come in or to start snowing. We don't have that kind of industrial robustness that everything can run perfectly unattended. Just the looking at stars is enough.